So we're at a critical juncture, clearly, in the calendar as we prepare for Pesach, and what seems to be a critical juncture in Jewish history, as Klal Yisrael faces unprecedented challenges and deals with a scenario that we've never seen before, at least in the last 2,000 years, of our own independent state, and yet at the same time being under attack in different ways. It's a war, it's quasi-war. And so it's important, and it's an opportunity to think what you could call Aliba de Hilchasa, according to the halacha. What do I mean when I say Aliba de Hilchasa, according to the halacha? I don't mean in the narrow legal sense. I mean in the sense of what are the issue? What's the feeling? What's the experience that we're having right now? And so what I'd like to do today is to reflect on themes of the Haggadah, 10 elements of the Haggadah that all relate to the situation, the gift, the reality, the journey that is Israel from a contemporary standpoint. And this idea of focusing on Israel at this time is obviously very much fitting with the whole inyan of Pesach, because Pesach was the time that we became a nation. Before that, we were a family. Avram was a family. Yitzchak was a family. And Yaakov was a family. But then, with Yetzias Mitzrayim, we became a nation. And Rav Kook writes in his commentary in the Gemara, in the Ein Hayah, in the beginning of Shabbos, that what happens when Jews in exile feel tzaras? It precipitates an awareness and a sensitivity to the nation. Galus, Rav Kook writes, is associated with a prat, with the individual. And we see this. Those of us who are living in exile, we live our individual lives. But there is something called the klal, the Knesset Yisrael, the collective, which is much greater. And that's associated with Geula. And when we feel the pinch of Gullus, we somehow connect. And I think that is for sure a time, an aspect, a dimension of what we're feeling right now. I can't speak for other people, but I think if I look at my own experience now versus last Pesach, I feel much more connected to the Klal. I'm more sensitive, more aware of what's happening to the Jewish people as a whole, especially Knesset Yisrael in Israel, which is the home of the Klal. So Pesach, as the creation of the Klal, is the time to lean into that, which now I think we're more sensitive to than ever. Look at the fact that so many people have gone and are still going and are trying to go. Rav Asher Weiss, Shalita, made the observation. He says, in a normal circumstance, when you have a wartime situation, what do people do? They run. He says, we are unbelievable. He said, people are coming. How many people in this room know people who have gone themselves? People running to a place there's a war because it's the klal. That's the feeling. That nationhood, that klal was created on Pesach. So that's obviously in Yonah Diyoma, that's Aliba de Hilchasa, that's Aleph. And Beis, as an introductory note, literally, in this moment, in these hours, we are experiencing a unique hashgacha that the enemies of Israel should send hundreds of lethal weapons and not a single one would cause a fatality. Obviously, I know from my own siblings and family who's there, this is a very stressful, not an easy time. And there was at least one person who was injured, Rachmana Litzlan, should have refuah shalema, v'soch sha'ar chole Yisrael. But to think about the fact that the Ribbono Shel Olam cares for us and watches out for us, protects us, that is not lost on us. And so when we have a Yeshua, when we have a salvation, like when the Jews woke up the morning after the Seder, and they saw the Sanherib armies, just corpses lying, who were threatening them the day before, we say to the Baal Shem, thank you. Kama milas tovas lamakam aleinu. Ilu hotzianu from the gas chambers, and he didn't give us a Medina, dayenu. Ilu, he gave us a Medina, but he didn't give us Yehudah and Shomron, dayenu. Ilu, he gave us Yehudah and Shomron, but he didn't protect us from all the missiles last night. Dayenu, dayenu. So we have to thank the Ribbono Shel Olam, even though we are well aware that there are other elements of the story that go unresolved. You know, it's not clear, and we don't discuss at the Seder, we don't get into how we got into Mitzrayim in the first place, or why we went to Mitzrayim in the first place. Why did the Ribbono Shel Olam have to give us so much suffering? Why did he allow them to oppress us, to abuse us? These are questions that we face with Emunah. And so, yes, in this time of miracles of Nisan, we are focused on the unbelievable Yeshua. We are obviously still nationally reeling from being in Mitzrayim on October 7th. That the Ribbono Shel Olam allowed the Rishonim Ha'arurim to perpetrate what they did and to put the Jewish people in a state of avelos, of terrible suffering, that there are still families who are waiting for their children and parents and cousins, the hostages, to come home. So we're in this complicated space. And that's very much like the Pesach Seder in a certain way, that we acknowledge. Va'avodim ve'inu osam. That was not, nobody wanted to sign up for that. But that was what the Ratzon of the Ribbono Shel Olam was. And somehow, that Ratzon is the same Ratzon that enabled us to go out on Kamp Nisharim. And so even though we struggle to understand the Ribbono Shel Olam's plan, and that on the one hand, for a period of time, he made our our state and our military capability so blind, Rachmana Litzlan, as to have such a catastrophe happen, to be in such Meitzarim, and then we turn around and the Ribbono Shel Olam does such miracles. So we thank the Ribbono Shel Olam for the Yeshua, Asher Ga'alanu, V'Gola Savusenu. And we hope that all the people who are struggling from the Meitzarim, the Ribbono Shel Olam will give them a Yeshua, who'll give them Chizuk, who'll bring the Nechama and the healing to all those people. And so we approach the Seder with this dialectic, with these different feelings that are all valid. And we even put our finger on them at the Seder. Ve'esamaleinu, ve'eslachatzinu, we talk about it, about how awful it was there and what it meant for the children. And, you know, Zuprishus derech eretz, the marriages, Rachmana Litzlan, that were affected in Egypt and that were affected by, you know, living in a hotel in an unhealthy family norm for the last 7 months. Like, we acknowledge that suffering. At the same time, we say, Ribbono Shel Olam, thank you for the miracles. And we're just praying, Asher Ga'alanu, that we should see the full Geula in our day. Amen. So, 10 Ha'aros. We begin the Seder with Halach Ma'anya. This is the poor man's bread. This passage is a peculiar one. It's very odd. The fact is that it is an Aramaic, which is already very unusual. So, I was studying this year for the first time. I don't know why. I never studied this Sefer, this Haggadah called Maaseh Hashem, the actions of God, so to speak. It's a 500-year-old Haggadah. It's a classic. I don't know why I never studied it. The Nesivos says, Maaseh Nisim is patterned after this Haggadah, the Maaseh Hashem. And he has something amazing. Now, the first part of what he suggests, that I had heard before, but the second part, it's really special. I mean, it's all really special. But this I never heard. He says, why do we say Halach Ma'anya in Aramaic? So he says, because Halach Ma'anya was said in the exile. They did not recite Halach Ma'anya in the time of the Beis HaMikdash. It makes sense because you can't invite somebody to your Korban Pesach on the night of the Seder. You have to invite people in advance. So what does it mean? So it was a colloquial expression. They said it in Babylonia, in the exile. Says the Maaseh Hashem, he says, what were they saying? They were saying, halachma anya, not just the matzah is lechem oni. They were saying this suda is a poor man's suda. Why? Because this was a kiyum, a fulfillment of imlo ale es Yerushalayim al ros simchasi. They arrived in exile remembering what it was like years earlier in Israel with all their families together with the Beis HaMikdash and how amazing it was. So we say the whole suda is called Lechem. Like the Pasuk says in Shmuel, Ma'adu'a lo ba ben Yishai el ha-lechem. So therefore we say, this suda of Leil Pesach is not like it was last year. We want to begin by acknowledging the reality of exile. Baruch Hashem, many of us are going to be zocheh this year, Habal Leinu L'tov. If we're not in Yerushalayim, we're going to have a beautiful Seder. We're going to have a marvelous Seder. Hopefully with family or friends, we're going to have a beautiful Seder. We're going to set out the finest throwaway plastic we have. All right, let's be honest. The beautiful Seder we're going to have, but we always remember, it's not perfect. It's not perfect. And as much as the Seder is going to be magnificent and regal and we'll have, you know, family and celebration and delicious food, halachma anya. This is not the ideal Seder. It's lachma anya. In his lashon, zachru es Sion. They remembered their life in Sion. They remembered Eretz Yisrael, the time of the Geula, the time of the Beis HaMikdash. So halachma anya. We start the Seder and we say, what a bracha it is that we have to be here tonight, but it's not the full simcha. The same way that you break a glass at a wedding, you start your Seder by recognizing it's lachma anya. We're not at the time of Geula. That's number one. Number two. We have a mitzvah every night of the year, which is called Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. We do it in the morning, we do it in the evening as part of Kriya Shema. We remember the Exodus. Now this mitzvah is distinct from the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, of telling the story of Egypt. And that we do one year on Seder night. Now, Ben Zoma comes along and teaches us that we're going to have the mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, not just during the day, but also at night. And it's interesting that this mitzvah is introduced into the Haggadah, even though that's not the mitzvah of tonight. Tonight's mitzvah is Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. But it makes sense, because tonight, on the night of the Seder, we're going to amplify, we're going to go into the details, we're going to tell the whole story with all the colors and all the feelings and all the affect. And then once a day, every day, twice a day, you'll just mention it quickly. So that's probably why it makes sense. If someone were to ask you, where is the mitzvah to look forward, to anticipate, to wait for the Mashiach, for the redemption? Where would you find that mitzvah? So you open up the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, and you don't find it there. You're looking around, you don't see it. Then you look in the Sefer HaChinuch, you don't see it. Comes the smack, the Sefer Mitzvah's cut, one of the Balei HaTosfos. And he says, you know where you're going to find the mitzvah to anticipate, to look forward to the coming of the Mashiach, to the end of the exile? He says, the mitzvah, which we know as part of the Ani Mamans, that's how we refer to it, B'vias HaMashiach Achakelo, he says, it's actually part of a Pasuk. Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Asher Hotzei Sicha Me'eretz Mitzrayim. That, according to many Rishonim, is a mitzvah. The mitzvah of Anochi Hashem Elokecha, I am Hashem your God who took you out of Egypt. Says the Smach, what is the mitzvah? What's the specific implications of Hashem taking us out of Egypt? It's He took us out of Egypt then, it means He's going to take us out again. You can even argue, as Rav Kook describes in many places, the redemption from Egypt was the beginning of the long process of the ultimate redemption, which we're still in the process of. If someone were to say to you, what are you thinking every day when you remember Yetzias Mitzrayim? Well, of course I'm remembering and inculcating the Emuna. Yetzias Mitzrayim is all about the Ribbono Shel Olam. The Ribbono Shel Olam created the world, and He's Mashkiach on the world, and He takes care of us, b'chulei, all that. But not only is it remembering what the Ribono Shel Olam did, that he took us out, it's also reminding us that the Ribono Shel Olam will take us out again. And Mori V'Ravi, Rav Shechter Shlita, he points out that the reason why we describe the state of Israel as Reishis Tzmichas Geulaseinu, or if you don't go with that nosach, in the very amazing open letter that was published in 1949, when there was, for the one and only time in the history of the state of Israel, a unified religious political coalition. All the religious parties, all the different types of from Jews in Israel, and you can give them your own labels, I don't have to articulate the labels, they all were part of one party. They all agreed to create one coalition. It was the first time in the state of Israel, and we're still waiting for that to come back. So there was an open letter that was signed by scores of Talmidei Chachamim, Poskim, Admorim, Rosh Yeshiva, major, major rabbinic figures all across Israel, from all the sects, Lithuanian and Hasidic, all different kinds of people. And the letter's opening was that we have merited, just a few months ago, the gift from the Ribono Shel Olam of Hanitzanim Harishonim, the beginnings of the sprouting, the buds of the Aschalta Degula. They didn't call it the Aschalta, they called it the sparks of the beginning of the Aschalta Degula. Why did they call it that? Because if, as Rav Shechter points out, if you follow the path of the Ramban, who says that there are only going to be two destructions, there was one Beis HaMikdash, and that was destroyed. There was a second Beis HaMikdash, and that was destroyed. That means that when the Jews come back to Israel, and they settle, and they build, there's never going to be another destruction. This is part of the steps of the process of the ultimate redemption. So having a Jewish government, L'Havad Lahem Melech, so even if this government isn't a formal malchus, although there is what to discuss about, you know, there's a nitziv about a democracy constituting a government, sovereignty, but to realize that this mitzvah of tzipisa liyeshua, of anticipating and looking forward to the geula, is rooted, as you would say in Yiddish, is lichtinda. It's rooted in the mitzvah of zechiras yitzias mitzrayim, of tzipri yitzias mitzrayim, asher tzisicha meretz mitzrayim. That means the Ribono Shel Olam is going to take us out soon. So realizing that the gift that we have of the yishuv, of the state of our time, is a fulfillment of that initial pasuk. And that is a mechayev. You know, people say that the Chafetz Chaim, he said that we were living in the, right in the doorstep, in the tkufa of the ikvas of the Mashiach. Now the Chafetz Chaim died in 1933, and we have not seen the Mashiach, and we saw a terrible darkness since then. Terrible darkness. But the Chafetz Chaim, he had a bag packed. Because he was Mitzapel Yeshua. He fulfilled this mitzvah of Asher Otzisicha Meretz Mitzrayim like the smach. So this is a machayah for us at the Seder, when we're thinking about the Geula, when we're singing about the Geula, when we're remembering Asher Otzisicha Meretz Mitzrayim, it's a machayah for us to think about where are we? And where are we going? And how much are we anticipating? And what are we thinking about? This mitzvah that's going to be emphasized on Seder night is really every day of the year. And the truth is, we remember it all the time with lots of other mitzvahs that are Zeichel Yetzias Mitzrayim. This Zeichel Yetzias Mitzrayim, it's not just in the back burner. It's not just in the history. It's also in the future. It's in the present. It's our mechayev to think and plan and anticipate the coming of the Mashiach. And so the Chafetz Chaim says to us, "Nu, what are you doing?" He looks at the Kohanim, he says to us, Chevra, are you learning Kachim? When they're going to build the Beis HaMikdash soon, are we going to be ready? He says, let's get ready. Those of us, maybe we don't have yet a place to land when the Mashiach comes, we should start a little fund. We should put, I don't know, $10 a week. I don't know how long it's going to take if you put $10 in a week. Whatever it is, you have a pushka or you have an investment account. This is going to be for when we move to Israel. Whatever it is, it's an expression of the belief that the Ribono Shel Olam is going to bring the Geula. We're not going to stay here forever in Chutz Laretz. We're not. We're going to go back, and hopefully it's going to be soon. But it's actually rooted, says the Smak, in Asher Otzisicha Meretz Mitzrayim. That was the beginning. When the Talmidei Chachamim were sitting together at the Seder at a time of great darkness, where did they go? They went, says the Baal HaGadah, They went to Bnei Brak. The five great sages went to Bnei Brak. And why did they go to Bnei Brak? So of course, because it was the home of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva, a very extraordinary, historic, almost, you could argue, singular personality. Rabbi Akiva was a supporter of Bar Kokhba, of armed resistance in Israel, which is interesting. Rabbi Akiva was a perpetual optimist. There are many things to say about Rabbi Akiva as it relates to Israel and the modern situation in which we live. But one thing that's extraordinary that the Oiv Yisrael says is that they went to Rabbi Akiva because he's lived in Bnei Brak. And the word Brak or Barak is Miloshon Barkai, which means light, illumination. So the holy Abt Rebbe, the Oiv Yisrael, Rav Avraham Yehoshua Heschel of Abt, he says that they lived at a time of real darkness. And what did they do? They tapped into the fact that the Seder night is a time of great light from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It is symbolized from Bnei Brak. It's interesting that when they started the service in the Beis HaMikdash every day, they started the Avoda. How did they start? One Kohen would go up and try to make sure, is it light outside? Is it daytime? He would check it out. And then, according to one opinion in the Mishnah Yuma, they would say, Barkai! It's light! Meaning, the night is over. A person could be sitting in great darkness, but if they get together with other Talmidei Chachamim, if they tap into the light of the Ribono Shel Olam, even in a matzav of choshech, of darkness, look, they had such intense Roman persecution, we know what's going to happen to Rabbi Akiva. It's not going to be solved the next day. Rabbi Akiva is going to be killed by these persecutors. And yet, they went to Rabbi Akiva because Rabbi Akiva lived in a barkai. He was able to see the light of the Ribono Shel Olam in the darkness. And isn't that something that we are seeing today in Israel? People, countless people, some of whom in this room, some of whom we've met personally, who are living in terrible, terrible choshech. And yet, they are able to say barkai. They can still see light. A woman loses her husband, is a tzaddik, six children. And what does she say? She's mechazik, the other women. She says, barkai, there's light in the world. Unbelievable. Soldiers, Nebuch, so many soldiers who are now disabled. Disabled. Right? We don't think about those soldiers because thank God they lived. But a lot of disabilities, Nebuch, lo aleinu. And how many times you meet someone in Israel, those of us who have gone, and they say, barkai. They're able to see the light mitocha choshech. That's something we're seeing it today in Israel with our own eyes. It's an unbelievable thing. That's what Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim, they taught us. That even with all of the difficulties, all of the persecution that they faced, they were still able to see the light. They were still able to see the barkai. It's a tremendous chizuk. Tremendous chizuk. The Haggadah describes that when we went down to Egypt, Vayerid Mitzrayma, we went down to Egypt, says the Baal HaGadah, says the Medrash, it's quoting from the Medrash, Onos al pi hadibur. We were coerced. So I have a sefer that a friend of mine gifted to me of insights on the Yomim Tovim from the Rebbe Rayatz, from the Friedika Rebbe, the previous Lubavitcher Rebbe, Rav Yosef Yitzchak Schneerson, Sefer Tzadik Lebracha. And he notices something interesting. He says, Onos al pi hadibur. Why is it significant that it was Onos al pi hadibur? So the Holy Rayatz, he suggests that the Ribono Shel Olam did not give Yaakov Avinu a choice to go down to Egypt. He said, this is the plan. I'm in charge. So the Rebbe Rayatz says, we have to believe that the same way that the Ribono Shel Olam put Yaakov in there, whether he likes it or not, it wasn't up to him, and he really didn't precipitate it. It looked like there were events that precipitated it, but it was Onos al pi hadibur. The Ribono Shel Olam made a gzeira, there was going to be a galus. So he says, you know what that means for the Geula? It means the same thing. The Rebbe Shlom said there's going to be a Gullus, Anas al pi adibur, but it means there's also, he gave us Avtacha, there's also going to be a Geula. Sometimes a person can, Rachman al Tzlan, despair. They look around, they say, B'derech HaTeva, how can anybody explain how we're going to navigate this? How is it going to go? Who's going to... So obviously, especially in the Hashkafas HaChaim of our community, we have to do our shtadlus. And we believe that waiting for the Ribbono Shel Olam to bring the Geula is not enough. And I think that's kind of actually the Rebbe Rayatz and the Rebbe Rashab was also very much into this idea that they did not believe in practical Zionism, which is interesting why Chabad had different approaches over different generations. Different Rebbes had slightly different perspectives. But certainly the Rebbe Rashab, I have a letter at home where he says, you got to wait back and wait for the Geula. And that's kind of what the Rebbe Rayatz is saying. He's saying the Ribbono Shel Olam, he put us in Gullus, he's going to take us out. But I think the other way that I can interpret and I can appreciate the Rebbe Rayatz's point is that we have to remember bitachon. It's true. There is no easy or natural way that we can see how we're going to be redeemed from this situation. But you know what? The same way that it was Anas al pi adibur, the Rebbono Shel Olam put us in this without a whole lot of, you know, calculations or input or anything that we did, the Rebbono Shel Olam decided there's going to be a Gullus. The Rebbono Shel Olam decides there's going to be a Geula. And we have to have bitachon. We have to know that even if it doesn't look like it makes sense or it doesn't look like there's an easy way out or any way out, the Rebbono Shel Olam gave us Haftacha, he's going to bring the Geula. There is no room for despair. Anas al pi adibur, it wasn't our choice to go to Gullus, and it's not going to be our choice to be redeemed. The Rebbono Shel Olam will redeem us. Anas al pi adibur also means something else. Here is a fascinating pshat, Anas al pi adibur, that Rav Shechter quotes in the name of Rav Soloveitchik. Rav Yosef Tov Alevi Soloveitchik said, what does it mean, Anas al pi adibur? It means that Yaakov Avinu went down unwillingly. He wasn't happy to go down to Egypt. He had to go down to Egypt. That was the Gzeira. It was the Gzeira min Hashemayim. So says Rav Soloveitchik, what was Yaakov's attitude leaving Israel? How did he feel about leaving Israel? Oh, thank you so much. I forgot mine in the car. What was Yaakov's attitude to leaving Israel? Was it gleeful? Was it happy? Or was it sad? Well, it was probably emotional. So Rav Soloveitchik says, look at the difference between Yaakov and Esav. Esav is told, you're going to go to Har Seir. Esav says, awesome, let's do it. Pack it up, let's go. Yaakov is told, you're going to leave Egypt. You're going to leave Israel, you're going to go to Egypt. He says, I feel bad. He had to do that. That was the Rebbono Shel Olam's plan. But not that he should feel that his life is bidyevet, because the Rebbono Shel Olam said this is the plan l'chatchila. But he should feel that he's missing something. It was onus. Rav Soloveitchik says, we who are living in America. Right? Rav Soloveitchik, he grew up in Europe. He came to America. He only visited Israel once in the 1930s. We should be the Yaakov Avinus. We should not be like Esav, Rachmana Litzlan. Esav says, you want to live anywhere else other than Israel? Great! I'm going to get a much bigger plot of land. I won't have to live in an apartment building with tons of other people. I won't have to worry about the Dud Shemesh not heating up fast enough. You know what I'm talking about? I would go with my grandmother, Aleha Shalom. I would get there from yeshiva, whatever, at night. I had to know what the weather was today, whether I could take a shower, or I'd have to wait 45 minutes. For God's sake. So Esav says, I want to go to a place I don't have to wait for a shower. I don't have to see, is the light on so I can take a shower? Is the light on? Is the light off? Who knows? Why is that? I don't know. It's one of those things. But Yaakov Avinu says, look, the Rebbono Shel Olam believes my place is not in Israel right now. But I should feel, not that I'm bidyevid, but I'm not so happy about that. I'm missing out a little something. Onos al pi hadibur. The Rebbe Shalom put me here to accomplish something, but I'm missing a little something. I shouldn't feel that my life is totally perfect and complete because I'm living in Golus. And Rav Soloveitchik says, this is how we should feel living in America. Not everything is perfect. It's Baruch Hashem, that's the Ratzon of the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's not perfect. So we shouldn't be celebrating as if to say, this is the ultimate Jewish life experience. You have kosher restaurants, you have mikvos, you have shuls, you have mostos. We don't need anything else. Everything is perfect. We should be so thrilled. Oh, we should be striving, we should be working, we should be building, we should be happy. But it's not perfect. It's onos al pi hadibur. We're here because the Ribbono Shel Olam put us here, but we have to be thinking, you know, what is it that's lacking? That it's not just, you know, walking away and turning our back on Israel. Ha'ar number six. If you're following. How do you define redemption? What is the definition of geula? So Dayenu actually helps do that for us. Because Dayenu begins with us being in Egypt, and it ends with the 15 steps, right? That's the ultimate goal, the destination of Geula is what? Beis HaMikdash. Exactly, it's Beis HaMikdash. Ilu hichnisanu le'eretz Yisrael, if we gotten into Israel, Dayenu, it would have been enough to say thank you. Just like it would have been enough to say thank you if we got Shabbos, but we didn't get the man, or we got to Matan Torah, but we didn't get the Torah. Dayenu is enough to say thank you. But that doesn't mean it's enough to get the end of the story. If we got to the Har Sinai, if we got to the mountain, and we didn't get the Torah, that wouldn't have been good enough. That's not the end. So, Bana Lanu es Beis HaBechira, that is the definition of Geula. If we look at the state of Israel right now, thank God, as so many have pointed out, we are not fully in the state of Golus. We have a land, we have an independent, democratic, Jewish state. Right? That's different than what it was 500 years ago. But you can't say that this is the Geula Shlema. Why? This is only the Aschalta de Geula. Why? Why is this not a state of Geula? Why do we still say Nachem on Tisha B'Av? Because the definition of Geula is Beis HaMikdash. Why is that the definition of Geula? Because the Ramban explains to us in the beginning of Sefer Shemos, he says Geula is the ultimate perfect state of the presence of Hashem in the world. The Avos, the Ramban says, they were the Merkava for the Shechina. That was the chariot, so to speak. They carried the Ribbono Shel Olam with them. Wherever Avraham Avinu went, the presence of the Ribbono Shel Olam went, and people felt it. The people who encountered Avraham Avinu, they knew they were in the presence of the Borei Kol HaOlamim. And then what happened? We went into exile. It's not just that we were no longer in Israel. It's that the presence of Hashem was not totally apparent around us. That means it's Golus. So what is the end of Golus? The Ramban says Sefer Shmos is called Sefer HaGolus VaHaGeula. It doesn't end when we left Egypt in Parshas Bo, and it doesn't end when we crossed the sea in Parshas Bishalach. It only ends after the building of the Mishkan. Because then the presence of Hashem comes down. That's how it ends. Moshe Rabbeinu constructs the Mishkan that Bezalel put together, and the Ribbono Shel Olam's presence comes down. What is that just like? It's like the Avos. The Avos, the Ribbono Shel Olam's presence was on them. Now we built a Mishkan, the Ribbono Shel Olam's presence is on us. That's Geula. That was with the Mishkan. Well, the Mishkan was a portable, it's this mobile Mikdash. So once we came, El HaMenuchah and El HaNachla, to the Beis HaMikdash, that's where the presence of Hashem is felt. So we thank the Ribbono Shel Olam for bringing us to this Shechiyanu V'Kiyumanu V'Hagiyanu Lazman Hazeh, to this Tkufa, where we have independence, where we have self-rule, where we can defend ourselves against the onslaught of our murderous enemies. But the Haggadah reminds us, Dayenu reminds us, it's not enough. We're not there yet. We say Hallel and thank you for every single step, but it's not done. We cannot make the mistake. We cannot substitute in our minds a state, a modern state, for the definition of redemption, which is the Beis HaMikdash. Kol od, that we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, we are not yet fully redeemed. And we're still going to say, Hashata Avdei. Once we have a Beis HaMikdash, and the Beis HaMikdash, in its fullest expression, that's Geula. When the presence of Hashem is apparent through the Mikdash, then we won't have the fear that people are living with today under the threat of the missile attacks. It'll be a miraculous period. You went to the Beis HaMikdash, crazy things happened there. People were standing squished together on Yom Kippurim, and then they bowed down, and no problem, plenty of room for everyone. All the Gabbaim, they arranged all the spots, and guess what? There was no problem, no seating issues. Amazing. That mamash, a miracle. It doesn't say in the Mishnah that nobody complained. That's a question. I don't know if anybody complained about the seating in the Beis HaMikdash on Yom Kippur. But you can't sit in the Azara, so makes it easier. But the idea that we should make sure to keep in mind that on the one hand, the state of Israel is a great gift. On the other hand, it's only a step in the process toward the ultimate Bana Lana Beis HaBechira. That reminds us that when we go to Israel and when we participate in a way that builds the spiritual content of the land, that's our hishtadlus and hishtadfus in bringing the ultimate geula. Right? We're only at a stage. You could call it maybe Mashiach ben Yosef, the physical infrastructure for the redemption, but the full Mashiach, the Mashiach ben David, that's going to be the tochen haruchani, the spiritual revival, and that's going to be with Bana Lanu Beis HaBechira. That's the last step in the sequence of the Dayenus. In the Dayenus, we mention Ilu Hechnisanu LeEretz Yisrael, arriving in Israel as something for which we say Dayenu. So Rav Lau, Sheyichye LeYomim Tovim V'Aruchim, Rav Yisrael Meir Lau, he has a Haggadah, it's called Yachel Yisrael. And this is a man who in his own life went from Mitzrayim to Eretz Yisrael. He personifies the story of the Seder. So in the book, Al Tishlach Yad Chel Anar, where he describes his whole life story, so he describes that when he came to Israel, ultimately he became engaged to the daughter of one of the prominent Rabbanim, Rav Yitzchak Yedidya Frankel, Zecher Tzadik Levracha. So he quotes, he talks in his biography about his father-in-law, and in his Haggadah, he mentions an interesting ha'ara from his father-in-law about Israel. Rav Lau said that his father-in-law, Lahavdil Bein Chaim L'Chaim, he asked him, why is it that if we look at Dayenu, the Rebbe Shlom gave us different matanos, he gave us different morashas, inheritance. We have the inheritance of Torah, and we have the inheritance of Eretz Yisrael. He says, why is it that Jews all around the world have a very strong and accessible way to connect to the morasha of Torah? People are learning Daf Hayomi. In those days, they didn't have WhatsApp groups with learning, but now they have all kinds of ways of people learning. He says, but when it comes to Eretz Yisrael, that connection is very tenuous. He says, if you look over thousands of years, how many people lived in Israel? How many people ever even visited Israel? It's a modern thing that people go and visit Israel. My grandparents' generation? Who ever thought? It was like, Chayinu Kachol Min Mamish. So why is it that, Rav Lau said, I don't know. So his father-in-law said to him, he said, look, when we took the Torah, nobody asked any questions. The Rebbe Shlom says, you want it? Everybody said, Nasa v'nishma, we'll take it. He said, but when they offered us the land, Kivyachol, the Bezit Shalmailo, the Rebbe Shalom, when the Rebbe Shlom gave us the land, first he told Avraham Avinu, you're going to have the land. What did Avraham Avinu say? How do you know? Bama Eda, what's going to be? And then the Rebbe Shalom, he says, Alei Reish, nu? And what did we say? We want to send some spies. We want to check out the lobby and see what the furniture was like and what the thing and how the restaurants. So it was interesting. So Rav Lau said, his father-in-law said to him, he said, you know why our relationship with the Eretz Yisrael, with the land of Israel, has not been as smooth and as easy? Because we didn't embrace it enough. If the Ribbono Shel Olam says to you, Alei Reish, just take it and run. Why do you ask so many questions? So Rav Lau says, it's a really interesting Musar Haskel, it's an interesting perspective. And maybe it's something for us to reflect on, especially living today in Galus. The Ribbono Shel Olam is giving us a matana. I'm not saying for everyone it's feasible or easy. But, I don't know, maybe sometimes we ask too many questions. And even if we don't ask so many questions, just thinking about this, about is our relationship with Eretz Yisrael and that morasha, that inheritance, is that as much of a priority to us as it is, as our relationship is with Torah? Now, obviously, each one has its own character and its own quality, but, and obviously, God forbid, we're not criticizing our ancestors, our avos, chas v'shalom, not Avram, not the Dor HaDea, but Rav Lau said it was a really striking ha'ara. When we said, ilu ech nisanu le'eretz Yisrael, we said, you know, yeah, but let's, first I want to find out exactly, right? So he says, it's a challenge. It's a critique. It's a critique of us, says Rav Frankel. So Rav Lau says, we have to really think about that. When we think about our relationship with the land of Israel. You know, I'm thinking about going, is it going to be the same, you know, is the hotel going to be as nice? I could go to Mexico or I could go to Israel. Well, where's it? You know, Drishas v'chakiras. Like, if it's a special place, if it's a Malkam Asher Yivchar, maybe we shouldn't ask so many questions. Maybe we shouldn't give the Ribbono Shel Olam such a hard time. It's a really interesting ha'ara. It's in Rav Lau's Haggadah in the Hebrew Yachal Yisrael. V'hi sha'amda. V'hi sha'amda. What is it? What is it that l'amda lav oseinu v'lanu shelo echad bilvad amar aleinu l'chal oseinu? It's true, and we know it, and we've seen it just in the last few hours. We've seen it. Shebechol dar v'dar amda aleinu l'chal oseinu. So v'hi sha'amda, says the Ritva, the great Spanish Rishon, Rabbi Yom Tov, the Ritva says, Vehi is referring to the previous paragraph. Baruch Shomer Havtachaso Li Yisrael. What was the Havtacha? The Bris Bein Habasarim. The Bris Bein Habasarim, in which Avram was told, Ger Yezaracha Be'eres Lelohem, Va'avodu Ve'inu Osam Arba Me'oshana, and then, Achrechen Yetzuruch Hashgadol. The Ribbono Shel Olam promised us. It took a very long time. Dor Revi'i Yeshuvo Heinu, it took hundreds of years. And it was not pleasant. But we did not despair. Shelo Echad Bilvad Amar Aleinu L'chal Oseinu. We should remember the Bris Bein Habasarim, that the Ribbono Shel Olam promised and he delivered. The fact that we haven't seen the deliverance yet, we have to come back to the emuna of the Bris Bein Habasarim, says the Ritva. Vehi, that's what stood us. That's what stood for us. The fact that the Ribbono Shel Olam made a Bris Bein Habasarim. What are we teaching ourselves and our children, all the future generations? That the Ribbono Shel Olam has a covenant with us. He will never abandon us. As difficult and as dark things get, the Pasuk says that they had this like a frightening scene. There was Arafel, there was Choshech, this Choshech and the Arafel and the Bris Bein Habasarim, the Medrash says that relates to all four future exiles. Avraham Avinu was told, we're going to have a dark, long, painful exile. But we're going to survive that exile. That's what the Ritva says that we have to fall back on in times of Bechol Dor V'Dor, Omdim Aleinu L'Chaloseinu, that the Ribono Shel Olam prescribed that there were going to be four exiles, there were going to be four kingdoms that were going to persecute us. And when Yaakov Avinu saw the last of those Malachi Chabala going up on the ladder, and it went up and up and up, and he didn't see it come down, so he started to get nervous. And Medrash says, the Ribono Shel Olam said to him, Al Tira Avdi Yaakov. I know it looks scary, but you have a Havtacha. You have the Bris Ben Abisarim. V'hi Sha'amda. What is it that sustains us through all of the darkness, all of the challenges, all of the scariness? People are living now in Eretz Yisrael in a Pachad Mamish. They're living with Pachad. So what do you hold on to? You hold on to the Bris Ben Abisarim. The promise that the Ribono Shel Olam said that he will take us out eventually after the four exiles. This brings us to the next, to the penultimate ta'ara, beautiful Maisa. Shvoch HaMascha. Shvoch HaMascha El HaGoyim and Yerushalayim Yer HaKodesh, the special tzaddik, Rav Aryeh Levin. You know that Rav Aryeh, he was one of the saintly figures of Jewish life in Yerushalayim in the 20th century. He was, you could argue, as like the moral and spiritual conscience, the beating heart of the Jewish people for decades. So he used to go, as so many of us know, he used to go to the prisons during the pre-state era to visit Jews who were incarcerated by the British because of different activities that they had for the Klal. So he went to different prisons. Those who go to Israel today, I highly recommend you go to the museum. It's near the Russian compound in downtown Yerushalayim, right off of Kikar Safra, off of Rehov Yafo. There's a room dedicated in memory of the Heilige Tzaddik Rav Aryeh. And if you go to Nachlaot, there's his house is still there. There's a street named after him, the Tzaddik Rav Aryeh. So he describes in the book, A Tzaddik in Our Time, Ish Tzaddik Haya, he describes a maisa that on Shabbos Chol HaMoed, he went to one of the prisons. Before I assume it's that prison in the Russian compound. And he went to check in on the fellas. How was the Seder? How was Pesach? So one of the prisoners answered him. He said, Holy Rebbe, we had a wonderful time. Everybody was in high spirits. We observed the Seder quite properly. There was only one problem, he said. When we said Shvoch HaMascha, we couldn't open the door. So he said, that was the one thing that was missing. So Rav Aryeh said to him, he said, you know, you're making a mistake. Every man is put in the prison of his own self. He cannot leave it by going out of the door of his house, but only through the door of the heart. And to make an opening for himself in his own heart, that anyone can do, even a prisoner behind bars, and then he will be truly free in spiritual freedom. Rav Aryeh was able to see that, of course, Pesach is a physical emancipation, but this Torah's Eretz Yisrael, this Rav Aryeh personality, saw that so much of chayrus, of freedom, is your internal, your heart, is being emancipated from worry, from pettiness, from stress of not feeling at peace with yourself, with the Ribono Shel Olam. So Rav Aryeh is telling us, Tzigzend, the word from Yerushalayim is telling us, Rav Aryeh wants us to see that Shvoch HaMascha, yes, of course, we're davening that the Ribono Shel Olam will pour out his wrath against all of our enemies. And we so desperately want that. But when we open the door, it's not just about the outside. It's about the inside, the personal development. And finally, the practice at Shvoch HaMascha of opening the door is associated with something called Leil Shimurim, the night of guarding, the night of watching. Leil Shimurim. And many people have the practice not to recite Kriya Shema al Amita with Hamapil on the Seder night because you don't need extra Shmira. Some people leave their doors open overnight on the first night of the Seder. Leil Shimurim, it's not just a Laila of Shimur in history. Of course, we have a piyut at the end of the Haggadah, Oz rov nisim iflesa balayla vayihi b'chatzi alayla. So many miracles happened. The Or HaChaim HaKadosh points out there were milchamos with Avram and the four kings, the nisim of the Yimei Chizkiyahu, lots of miracles. We talk about them at the Seder. But there's a Haggadah that's called Nachlas Yaakov for Rabbi Yaakov Chaim Amsel. Lived in Brooklyn. He says that the Or HaChaim refers to four miracles that took place. It's a pasuk in Shmos on the night of the Seder. But he says there is, of course, not just a pattern of four in the Seder. There's the pattern of five. There are four languages of Geula, but then there's the fifth. There are four cups, but then there's the fifth. The fifth miracle, the fifth aspect of Leil Shimurim, says the Nachlas Yaakov, is the Neis HaChamishi, the Geula HaAsida, the future redemption. The Leil Shimurim is that we are confident that the Ribbono Shel Olam will yet redeem us. And he suggests amazing Ha'arah. He says, Ha Lachma Anya is like Hey, Lachma Anya, there's going to be a fifth. There's going to be a number five. That's the fifth pasuk of Vehi Vesi. Vehi Vesi Eschem El Haaretz. Leil Shimurim is not just we're not worried because on Pesach night the Ribbono Shel Olam did miracle for us and protected us. Ultimately, the Leil Shimurim is that we have confidence that the Ribbono Shel Olam will take care of us, will redeem us. And that relates to this phrase, this idea of shimur. What is shomer? So shomer is to guard. But Rashi says, v'aviv shamar es hadavar, when Yaakov Inu supervised what was going on with Yosef and the brothers, Yoshev umetzape. Yaakov Avinu was waiting to see, because he knew Alpi Navi, he was a Navi, he knew Alpi Navua that something was going to happen. So shomer means not just to guard, but to anticipate. So Leil Shimurim, says the Nachlas Yaakov, the night of the Seder is the reminder that we should be mitzape for the Geula. We are living at a time of the Ikvasa de Mashiach Mamish. When we open the door for Shvoch HaMascha, when we leave the door unlocked, for those who do, on the night of the Seder at their house, when we do those things, we are reminded that the Ribbono Shel Olam is shomer us, he's watching over us. 200 missiles, not one person was killed, Baruch Hashem, and that he is shomer, he's Yoshivu Mitzape. He's waiting and we're waiting for him to bring us the Geula Shlema V'Amitis B'Mehera V'Yameinu. Amen V'Amen.